well as W2.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast, and we want to thank you for tuning in today. And just want to mention to you, if you have your air conditioning or heating unit has been experiencing some stress of late, going back and forth between the cold and the heat and all of that sort of stuff, if you have realized that you need some maintenance done in that area, if you would call Bill at Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284, 759-3284. He can keep you cool and keep you warm if your equipment needs some maintenance done. So I encourage you, if you're in the central Brevard County area, you can reach Bill at 759-3284. They're one of the people that help a little bit to bring the Refresh Radio broadcast to you. Right here. So we do want to remind you that tomorrow will be our vintage worship service. We have actually been preaching through the book of Isaiah. Last week we were in Isaiah chapter 5. Wow, what a powerful. In fact, you know, the entire time we've been in the book of Isaiah, it's just been a powerful, powerful time. I've learned a lot in it. So we'd like to invite you to come out and be a part of that. Our kids ministry on Wednesday night, as well as our ladies class, that's been going very well. This last Wednesday we started doing a dinner at 6 o'clock for those. Our classes start at 6:30. They run from 6:30 to 7:45, and as a way of being a blessing to our families, to make sure that it's not a stress-filled time, but as stressless as possible. We started feeding the kids at 6 o'clock, and that seemed to go pretty well. Some growing pains in that area, but we'll get those straightened out. But it is really good, and we just want to encourage you. If you'd like to see your kids hanging around other Christian kids and growing in their faith, we'd like to invite you out to our boys and girls ministries, Royal Rangers and Girls Ministries, Wednesday nights at 6:30. So today I want to take you to the book of 2 Samuel, the book of 2 Samuel. We're going to be in the 8th chapter. And I'm going to read this to you in the New King James Version, but I want you to understand that it says things a little bit differently in the NIV, a different translation. So I'm going to read it to you in the New King James Version, and then I'm going to tell you what it says, and I'm trying to do too many things here. I think that's what's going on here. We're going to look at and see what it says in the NIV and jump from there. But Second Samuel chapter 8, let's take a look at verse number 5. When the Syrians of Damascus came to help Hadadezer, king of Zobah, David killed 20,000 of the Syrians. Then David put garrisons in Syria of Damascus, and the Syrians became David's servants and brought tribute. So the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And David took the shields of gold that had belonged to the servants of Hadadezer and brought them to Jerusalem, also from Betah and from Berothai, cities of Hadadezer. King David took a large amount of bronze. When Toai, king of Hamath, heard that David had defeated all the army of Hadadezer, then Toai sent Joram his son to King David to greet him and bless him because he fought against Hadadezer and defeated him, for Hadadezer had been at war with Toai. And Joram brought with him articles of silver and articles of gold and articles of bronze. King David also dedicated these to the Lord, along with the silver and the gold that he had dedicated with all from all the nations which he had subdued, from Syria, from Moab, from the people of Ammon, from the Philistines, from Amalek, and from the spoil of Hadadezer, the son of Rehob, king of Zobah. And David made himself a name when he returned from killing 18,000 Syrians in the Valley of Salt. He also put garrisons in Edom. Throughout all Edom, he put garrisons, and all the Edomites became David's servants, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. So there's an interesting thing, and it says there in verse number six, so the Lord preserved David wherever he went. And in verse number 14, it says, and the Lord preserved David wherever he went. In the New International Version, it says, and the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. And I want to declare to you today that God wants to give you victory. There was a time where the people were under attack, and the prophet sent word and said, this battle today is not yours. This battle is the Lord's. This battle is the Lord's. Remember, when you enter into covenant with God, that there is a divine transaction that takes place. It is that everything that belongs to you now belongs to God, whether that is good or whether it is bad, whether it's an asset or a liability, whether it's a credit or a debit, God says, that now belongs to me. Also, everything that belongs to God belongs to you. And the great thing about that is there are no liabilities on God's side. It is the best value deal that is out there for any human being. Why anybody would not want to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior is amazing to me, because he comes with no side effects. He doesn't come with any consequences. He comes with nothing but benefits. When you enter into covenant relationship with God, you partner up, not partner down. Somebody was talking the other day, I don't even remember who this conversation was with, right off the top of my head, but they were talking about how people were talking down about them to other people. And I remember saying, you know, I can relate to that, because when my wife and I were dating and then we became engaged, there were friends of hers who were saying to her, oh, Cindy, you can do so much better than him. You can do so much better than him. What are you settling for him for? I want you to know that today I didn't settle for Jesus. I didn't settle for my wife. She didn't settle for me. It was a divinely ordered, covenant. That's what it was. We both look at each other as the blessed of the Lord. And so when I entered into covenant with Jesus, I wasn't settling. I wasn't looking for just, you know, anybody that I could partner with. I was given the opportunity to partner with the best. So, you and I, you say, what has this got to do with what David said? It says there that David, that in the New King James, it says that God preserved him everywhere he went. It also, in the NIV, it says that the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. On yesterday's broadcast, we were talking about taking up the yoke of the Lord, being partnered with him, being covenanted with him. And when we do that, he is going to bring us victory. He is going to give us victory. That's what happened to David. Was everywhere he went, God gave him victory. When I was talking earlier about that covenant coming together, I want you to know that when anything comes against you as a covenant partner with God, that thing has literally launched an attack against God, and God is going to come to your rescue. And so if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are walking with him, you are growing with him, whether it is sickness, whether it is poverty, whether it's an emotional attack or a physical attack, I want you to know today that you are not facing that thing on your own, but instead, God is there, and he wants to fight that battle for you. He wants to fight that battle for you. And God is not a respecter of persons. David had entered into covenant with God, and it said that everywhere he went, God gave him victory. There's another scripture that says, whatever you find to do with your hand, whatever you put your hand to, that it's going to be successful. And so I just encourage you today that you are not a born loser. You are a born again winner. I like that. That's not here in my notes. You are not a born loser. You are a born again winner, because God is fighting the battles with you. When the children of Israel were coming into the promised land, they were not supposed to enter into a covenant with any of the peoples of those towns, because God said they will lead you astray. And the Gibeonites came under a guise. They came with a pretense. They came acting as if they were coming from a faraway land, but actually they were coming from very near. And they entered into a covenant with the children of Israel. The children of Israel said that they did not seek God when they entered that covenant. So they just did it from a superficial standpoint. And they discovered later that the Gibeonites had deceived them. And, you know, but the covenant was binding. The covenant was binding. A little bit later, there were several nations, several other occupants of the promised land who found out what the Gibeonites had done. They didn't like that, and so they attacked the Gibeonites. And when the Gibeonites came under attack, now Israel, because they, even though they were in the position of strength, the Gibeonites had entered into covenant with them. And when the Gibeonites came under attack, Israel now was compelled to go and fight that battle, and God gave them a great victory. That same principle applies for you and I when we have entered into covenant relationship with God. When you come under attack, God is not going to sit idly by and say, well, you know what, I shouldn't have entered into covenant with them anyway. I'll just step. You know what? Doing nothing would have caused the Israelites to be in violation of the covenant. God took that covenant with the Gibeonites very seriously, because later on, when Saul was king, he lashed out at the Gibeonites and tried to destroy them. And when David came to the throne, there came a famine in the land, and they said, we need to find out what is going on. And the word that came from the Lord was, you Israelites have violated your covenant with the Gibeonites, and I'm not going to stand by idly while that takes place. God is a covenant-keeping God. And so today, you and I, if we are walking as the covenant people of God, God's not going to sit idly by while we come under attack. He doesn't hold man to a higher standard than he does himself. I want to take you to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, because I believe that God always wants to bring you and I to victory. Verse number 12, well, let's go up a little bit. verse number 1 of chapter 2. But I determined this within myself, that I would not come again to you in sorrow. For if I make you sorrowful, then who is he who makes me glad but the one who is made sorrowful by me? And I write this very thing to you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow over those for whom I ought to have joy, having confidence in you that my joy is the joy of you all. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you with many tears, not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe, this punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end I also wrote, that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. I wonder how many people can still say that in 2015. I believe there are still a lot of people right now that are ignorant of Satan's devices. Verse number 12, furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel and a door was opened to me by the Lord, I had no rest in my spirit because I did not find Titus, my brother, but taking my leave of them, I departed for Macedonia. Verse number 14, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To one, we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity, but as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. In verse number 12, Paul describes that there was a door that the Lord had opened to him to preach the good news of Jesus Christ in Troas. It was a door that God had opened. And Paul said that he didn't find Titus there, so he left that place and departed for Macedonia. Now, here's my philosophy. I go where God opens the doors. God opened the door for me to have a job in Tulsa that took me to Texas, where God had opened a door. He brought me to Florida because he opened the door. In fact, I'll be honest with you, I'm very spoiled, because God is the one who has literally opened every door for me for pretty much the past 30 years. Very rarely have I ever gone out looking for a job. Even how I came to Merit Assembly of God was the Assemblies of God district office called me and wanted me to come to this church. And so I've looked at every door that God opens for me, and I'll tell you how I've gone through that. Not any of those doors have I given any consideration to how much money they were paying me. I wasn't going there because of the financial resources. In fact, if that was the decision on most of those cases, I made bad decisions because they were financial steps down instead of financial steps up. My wife and I, our income dropped when we moved to Texas. When we moved to Florida, our income dropped. When we came to Merit Assembly of God, there was no income. We didn't come because of the finances. We came because God had opened the door. But Paul said that he was looking for something in that place that he didn't find. He was looking for a person there and he didn't find them. And so he made the decision to leave and go and preach in Macedonia. And so I believe that there are a lot of times that people have made transitions in their life that weren't necessarily God ordering those steps and directing paths, but they had either become discouraged, got burnt out, they were looking for greener pastures, or they were just a little disillusioned, and they made a transition that God really, that wasn't his perfect will for them. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody out there today who has ever made a wrong turn spiritually. You know, if you are driving down the road and you make a wrong turn, now your GPS device will say recalculating, and they will get you back on the route. Well, I want you to know that God had that system in place spiritually long before man had it in place navigationally. He has been putting people back on the right path over and over and over and over again. And in verse number 14, it begins to describe that it says, "Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ." I don't look at verse 14 disjointed from the previous verses. I look at it as God's response to the previous verse, and that was, "I opened a door for you, you walked through it, and then you left it and you abandoned it, but I always lead my people in triumphal procession. I always lead them forth to victory." God is not leading you today to devastation. If you and I could just follow his voice and follow his word, he will lead us to victory. He's not going to lead us into a trap. He's not going to lead us to defeat. He is going to lead us in victory. Too many times we get focused on the circumstance at hand, and we miss sight of the bigger picture of what God is going to do. You see, Pharaoh thought that God had led the children of Israel into a trap when he had them positioned between the Egyptian army and the Red Sea. But Pharaoh thought that he was just leading them around and they were confused in the wilderness. But God was actually leading them to a great victory. All that time in the wilderness, whenever the enemy attacked, God led them to victory. When Paul was on his missionary journeys, God always led him to victory. You say, but look at all of the things he went through. He went through shipwrecks and being beaten. He was thrown to the wild beasts. He was actually thrown out of a city and stoned and left for dead. I don't know how many different times he was shipwrecked. It says, I just don't remember it right off the top of my head right now. He was imprisoned. He was falsely accused. He was, he just suffered a lot of things. And you'd say, wow, why would God lead him like that? Because God had said that he would be a light to the Gentiles. He told Paul, he said, you are going to preach the gospel to kings. Now, most of the time when you would think that you're going to preach the gospel to kings, that you would do so at their invitation, that they would bring you in and say, would you please tell me this good news? But the way that Paul was positioned to do that on many occasions was through adverse circumstances. And you could look at all that adversity and say, man, I don't want to have anything to do with God leading me like that. But I want you to know that time when he was stoned and left for dead, God raised him up and he marched right back into the city and ministered the gospel. And the next day he got up and he left the city. He always was led in victory. And so today I may be talking to somebody and you have made a spiritual navigational blunder. Maybe you just have not responded to God's invitation for him to lead you in victory yet. Today would be a phenomenal day for you to make that course correction and say, God, I tell you what, would you take the helm? It does not say that we will lead God in triumphal victory or triumphal procession or triumph. It says that God will lead us. Yesterday on the broadcast, I talked about the sled dog that just couldn't handle another dog leading. I pray that we would not be so inclined. I pray that we would understand that God wants to lead us. You see, he's a shepherd. He's not a cattleman. Cattlemen drive their cattle. It's called a cattle drive. They are behind and they get the herd moving in the right direction. But sheep follow the shepherd. They know his voice. They allow him to lead. They know that he's going to lead them to still waters, to green pastures. He's going to lead them to feed in the presence of their enemies. He's going to lead them through the valley of the shadow of death. He's going to lead them through all of those places. And so sheep come to that place where they trust the shepherd implicitly, to the point that they don't know what's coming next, but they trust the shepherd that he is going to lead them. Today, if you have never asked Jesus to lead you, I pray that you'll do that today. If God has opened doors for you, but you have gone and done your own thing since that time, and you say, God, I want you to get me back on the right path, today he can do that. Can we just close out the broadcast today praying about those two things? And then we'll pray about one more thing at the end, and that is that from this point forward, God will lead us. He'll lead us to people who need Jesus. He will lead us to that place where we will be able to serve with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We'll serve to the most effectiveness for his kingdom. Father, right now, I pray that if there are people listening to this broadcast right now, and Lord, they find themselves at a dead end, they have not asked you to forgive them of their sin or be the Lord of their life, I pray today, God, that you would come to their rescue. And just like you did for David, that you would give them victory by leading them in victory. Father, if there are those who maybe they started out on the journey, but they took a wrong turn someplace, maybe it was a bad relationship, maybe they got deterred financially, maybe they got deterred with their workplace or whatever it might be, God, I pray today that you would pick them up and you would place them on the path and lead them. Lord, today I pray for all of us that you would lead us forward today on this Tuesday. You lead us on Wednesday and the rest of our life. Lead your people in victory. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.